The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Have you ever heard the phrase, "I'd like to grow old gracefully"? Well, most of you, as I look around, are older than I, so you have more experiences than I do. You can tell me, is this true? Is growing old graceful? Sometimes, yeah, thank you. I think sometimes our bodies are like a car, and we'd love to be able to turn them in for a newer model. From what I hear, then, it's often not so. It's difficult. There are good things about growing old, but it's hard when the body begins to have problems. And today, God has a good word for His people about aging and growing old, that we may grow old gracefully with Him, because I'd like to speak with you today about the tree of life, and in particular, how this relates to us as we age in the Lord. So, what if you could eat of a fruit that could make you young again, even when you're old? Well, let's talk today about the tree of life, look at it in the Scriptures, and what would God say to us then today about the tree of life? Well, the first thing to understand is the tree of life in the Bible is found really only in two places. It's at the very beginning of the Bible, in the Garden of Eden, and then it is shut up, sealed, and not heard of again for ages and generations and thousands of years until finally it appears again at the very end of the Bible in Revelation. So let's begin then where it begins in Genesis chapter 2, beginning verse 8. It says, "The Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He put the man He had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So we see two special trees in the garden, don't we? There's the tree of life in the midst of the garden, then there's also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which I think we could perhaps call a tree of death. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, God says to Adam, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." So there's the tree of life, and then there's the tree of death. And you all know the story. Adam chose disobedience, ate of the fruit. And when God came to find Adam in his sin, Adam was hiding among the trees of the garden. But he was found, of course. And then God gives a judgment upon them. And what was the judgment for the sin? It says, you know, basically, "Adam, what have you done? It was the woman's fault. Woman, what have you done? It was the serpent's fault. Serpent." And God says to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle," etc. A curse. And then upon the woman, he says, to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbearing." A curse. And thirdly, God said to the man, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And so what was the fruit of eating of the fruit? It was death and a curse. What's a curse? Curse is the opposite of a blessing, right? It's where darkness and evil follow you, cover you, and seal your fate. And so the curse for Adam was, you got the tree of life here, but if you eat of the tree of death, which he did, the curse was that you shall in that day die. Death would enter in. And did, I want to ask you this question. Did Adam die on that day when he ate of the fruit? Not a mortal death. His body didn't die right away, but his soul died instantaneously. That is, he was cut off from God, who is life. When you break your relationship with life, you get death. And this is confirmed in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. So you can be alive physically, but dead spiritually. And Adam died the day he ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, just like God said. But then we also see that death was at work in his flesh too, right? Because it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Let me see if I can explain this to you with an illustration I have. I have here a lily that we got at Easter last week. And on Thursday evening of this week, I plucked this flower from it. Actually, I cut it off from the vine, if you will. Now, as soon as I cut the flower off from the lily plant, it still looked pretty good for a while. It actually looked just like these. But I kept it in a dark place with no water, no sunlight, and over time you're noticing it doesn't look so good anymore, right? Was it dead the moment I cut it? In a sense, yes, because it was cut off from life. But it took a while for death to be at work in it, and it's still working on it until it will return one day to the dust. Right? Amen? So too with us. When we sinned against God, we broke our relationship with Him who is the tree of life, and we are experiencing the withering effects of sin. That is, we're going to talk about Christ in a moment, but our bodies suffer the corruption of the curse of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Bible. And what happens to the tree of life? It is written here in Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3. The Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man at the east, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim with a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And my friends, that's the last you hear of the tree of life for the whole rest of the Bible, thousands of pages, until you get to the very end and to Revelation. And we'll get to that in a moment. But let me just say this. Though we're in Christ, we're alive spiritually, our flesh is still under that corruption, though, isn't it? Aging just ain't pretty, is it? Anybody enjoy aging here? Maybe the really young who are getting toward the prime of and flower of their life, but aging really is not fun. And I'm going to make a little fun of it now just to show how tragic it is. If you don't mind, and I do not want anybody to be offended by these sayings, but I found some jokes here saying when you're getting, you know you're getting older when on the internet. So take these with a light heart, if you will. You know you're getting older when your doctor doesn't give you x-rays anymore, but just holds you up to the light. You know you're getting older when pulling an all-nighter for you means not getting up to go to the bathroom. When you no longer refuse that lobster bib at the lobster restaurant. For the men, when a beautiful woman catches your fancy and your pacemaker sets off the garage door nearest you. When your wife says, let's go upstairs and make love, and you answer, honey, I can't do both. When your idea of going out is sitting on the patio. When if you've never smoked, you can take it up now and it won't have time to hurt you. When people no longer view you as a hypochondriac. When you can share secrets with your friends and they're safe because they can't remember them either. When your little black book contains a list of names ending in MD. And then, I love this one. When you're in a hostage situation, you're likely to be released first. And when you sink your teeth into a steak, they stay there. Now, I, at the tender age of 39, I'm already experiencing some of these things. My knees are creaking. My back has been giving me a little trouble. And this morning, I got up looking for my watch, and after a minute or two, I found it was on my wrist. These things are funny because they're true and tragic, are they not? A lot of people end up spending their youth in order to get wealth. And then when they retire, they end up spending their wealth to try to get their youth back. Amen? Getting older is really no fun. And it is part of this curse that we've inherited from Adam, where our bodies break down. And as it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 24, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. For the grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever. That word is the good news which was preached to you. And that's the good news of the gospel that I have for you today, that even though our flesh withers and grows older, the word of the Lord abides forever. That good news that is preached to you has the power to work in you life and newness, health and youth again. And Jesus Christ, I'll declare to you, has come to reverse the curse of Adam, the withering, the corruption of our flesh, and especially of our soul unto eternal death. For when Jesus came, what did he do? In Mark chapter 3, listen to this. It says, he entered a synagogue. A man was there who had a withered hand. And they watched to see whether he'd heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And the man came and he said, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched out his hand, and his hand was restored. Jesus came to turn this into this again. He has the power to heal your flesh and most especially your body. Now, when it gets to the tree of life in Genesis chapter 3 and 2, I believe that that tree of life was a real, literal tree there in the garden. But I also believe it was metaphorically speaking of a person, namely God himself, Jesus Christ, who is the tree of life. And I can show you that in the scriptures, because in John chapter 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, and just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Do you realize the great joy that we have today? That Jesus has come to turn this into this. First, inside you, and secondly, also, ultimately, in your bodies as well. Now, how did he do this? Well, how did we get a curse again? By eating what? The fruit of the tree, right? Of knowledge of good and evil. Let's see how Jesus redeems us from the curse of the tree. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree, that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might perceive the promise of the Spirit through faith. In other words, if you go to die on a cross, on a tree, in the Bible, you become a curse. You're an accursed man. Where is this written? Deuteronomy chapter 21, Moses writes, and if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he's put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hanged man is accursed by God. That's why when Joshua entered the promised land and he hanged the king of Ai on a tree, they took him down before sundown to follow this. That's why when Jesus was crucified on a cross, the Jews said, Pilate, break their legs and take them down because the Sabbath's about to begin. Don't leave the body on the cross all the night because Moses says such a man is accursed and we're not to defile our land. Well, the wonderful news is that by a tree came death, by a tree has come life. That's why it had to be a cross and not an electric chair or something like that. By a tree came death. By a tree, the cross has come life. And Peter says this very thing. He uses the word tree when he describes Christ's cross. The word in the Greek is zoulon. He says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. 1 Peter 2, Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. And they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him manifest. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. What a great message that we have then, that by a tree has come death, by a tree has come life. And if you were to cut this off, as I did on Thursday, did it look dead right away? No, it was looked alive, although it was dead. It's now death is at work in it. You can see it. The day you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you live spiritually instantly because you're grafted into the vine. But just as it took a time for this flesh to go corrupt into corruption, so also it takes a time for our fresh flesh to be restored. But your flesh in Christ, I tell you, will be restored. On the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to raise us from the dead and restore us to glory and strength and youth and health. And by a cross came death, by a tree came death, by a tree has come life to lead us where? Back to the tree of life. Where do we find the tree of life? Thousands of pages, it's not mentioned, it's shut up, it's sealed for long ages until finally at the end of the Bible, in Revelation, and especially in Revelation chapter 22, we read this, last chapter of the Bible. Then he showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month, for the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Think about this great news. God leading us back to the tree of life. Paradise was shut up, guarded by a cherubim, standing in the way. Now Christ has opened paradise and the tree of life to us again by his tree of the cross. So, where does all this leave us? Can we grow old gracefully? Well, the beautiful news about this is that when you're getting older in Christ, you actually now get younger. Did you know that? Though your body, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. Haven't you heard what it says in Isaiah 40? Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They who wait upon the Lord. So, what's it like then? My back hurts sometimes lately. My knees are a little bit grinding when I get up from the bed. It takes me longer to get ready. Noticed a few more gray hairs happening here and there. My eyesight's not as perfect as it was a little ago. But Christians inside are getting younger every day. Unless they're actually at a standstill in their faith and they're somehow drifting away from Christ, you are becoming inside more youthful, more energetic, more joyful, more pliable, more tender, while at the same time being made stronger than an oak. Amen? And Moses, it says in Exodus 15, they came to Marah. They could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. Will you throw the water, will you throw the tree of the cross into your bitter waters of growing old? My friends, it makes growing old sweet. It tastes good. A hoary head is a crown of glory, says the Lord. And a man who trusts in the Lord, the wicked, it says, is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. But in Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Such is the heritage of the servants and children of the Lord. And the good news on the Lord's day, when he comes, your flesh also shall be raised up, perfected in glory and power. So we'll conclude with this word from our gracious God to you now through me as his chosen instrument. God says to you this morning, "Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from your youth, carried from your womb. Even to your old age I am he. To your gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save." In Jesus' name, the tree of life. Amen.